I am the woman at the well. I come to the well in the heat of the day alone to avoid the sneers and the gossiping, wagging tongues that cut into my already broken heart. I avoid the painful ignorance and the lack of loving care. Shame, it is my only covering. My men, they have all thrown me away for those that are younger and prettier than I. The shattered pieces of my life lay scattered all around me, leaving a trail of tears, desperate to be loved, shattered and scattered is my soul. And then, he, the king, the Messiah, Yeshua, he came to meet me, at the well. He told me all about myself. He didn't shame me. He didn't blame me. He didn't chastise me. He forgave me. He accepted me. And he healed and delivered me. He fulfills all my hopes of an abiding, undying love that will never end. Welcome, everybody. This is a modern-day Samaritan woman bringing to you healing for the nations. We are on a journey to the heart of the Father, and on that journey, we are walking the 12 steps of recovery. And on this way, we are using the steps to address the spots and the wrinkles that are on our wedding dress. The 12 steps is simply yet another tool that the Father uses to heal us, to deliver us, to show us the log in our eye and give us tools to come alongside of our brothers and sisters and help them with a splinter in their eyes. It's a tool to help us to see the spots and wrinkles in our wedding attire. And I don't know about you brothers and sisters, but I know I still have spots and wrinkles in the back of my wedding attire. So I need truth tellers to come alongside of me and speak the truth in love and help me to get rid of those spots and those wrinkles, because we are on a journey not only to the heart of the Father, but we are on a journey to the great wedding feast. Our bridegroom is soon to appear. And brothers and sisters, we must be ready. We must have our spots and our wrinkles eradicated. And today I am so excited because we have a fellow sojourner, and I am welcoming Bonnie Manning. Bonnie, welcome. I am so excited to have you on today.
It's a pleasure to be here, Laura. Thank you for having me.
So, Bonnie, because of the great opposition that you and I have experienced this morning, I want to open this in prayer. I want to invite the Holy Spirit into this conversation. Would you be willing to pray for the listener?
I would love that. Abba, we just come before you, Father. We just come before you, thanking you and praising you that your word can go forth to the nations, that we have the ability today to speak words that go forth to the nations. And Father, we need you. We are asking you to impart the very words that the broken lambs today need for healing, for restoration, for encouragement. And Father, we long to hear your voice today. We are just a vessel, Father. And without you, we can do nothing. And Father, we pray, Father, that you increase, that Yeshua is lifted up high, that he is exalted up high, and that men are drawn. And Father, I just thank you for this show and for Laura, and I pray blessings over it. And we thank you and praise you that you are a good, good Father, and that you have good, good bread for us in the name of Yeshua, the Messiah, the Anointed One.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Bonnie. So the reason why I asked Bonnie to come on to the show is Bonnie has a powerful story, and Bonnie has such an anointing. She's a writer and she's a speaker, and living waters flow out through this woman. And I am so blessed, Bonnie, to know you, even though I haven't met you face to face. I have heard parts of your story. I know you and I have talked extensively on the phone, and we are truly kindred spirits. And I love your writing. Your writing is so anointed. Bonnie, before you start sharing your story, could you please tell the listener how they could find you?
Definitely. And thank you for those words. All praise and honor to the King of Kings. My writings are fiction and nonfiction. You can find me at TekoaManning.com. My pen name is Tekoa, T-E-K-O-A. It's the Hebrew word for trumpet. You can get all my books on Amazon or on my website. I have a brand new devotional that I just released called Jumping for Joy in the Midst of Sorrow. In this book, I highlight how joy is sitting right next to sorrow, or sorrow is sitting right next to joy. And it's really been ministering to a lot of people. So I hope that you will pick one of those up. Thanks, Laura.
You're so welcome. Thank you. And so, Bonnie, you have a powerful story. And I am just going to hand over to you this platform, because the world needs to hear your story of redemption through the love of our Savior. So please share.
Thank you, Laura. Many times I really don't know where to start with my story because it is long and it is detailed. So I'm gonna jump forward in the story and just give a little bit of background. After being married for 14 years, I became a single mother and was trying my best to live for the Father. I had been raised in church my whole life, and I was seeking Him. And long story short, I was sexually assaulted and terrorized. It terrorized me, and I began to drink. And many times when I got my children off to school in the morning, Laura, I was still intoxicated. I wanted to check out. I wanted to numb the pain, and I couldn't understand how the Father had allowed this to happen. And a lot of the things I write about in my fiction novel, Polishing Jade, is for women who have been abused, women who have been assaulted, women who don't know their identity and their strength and their beauty. And so that a lot of that story is fiction, but it was birthed out of this place. And so several years later, I'd remarried, and pretty much every morning I was crying out and reading my Bible and telling the Father, I do not want to live this life. Help me. Heal me. And one night around 2005, in the middle of the night, I don't proclaim to hear the audible voice of the Father, but this night I heard the voice of all the waters in the ocean. And the voice said five words: get your house in order. Mm-hmm. And it sounded like a 747 was going off inside of my soul. And I catapulted out of my bed and I walked to my bedroom window. And I remember looking out the window at the moon. And for the first time in my life, I knew that the voice I heard hung the moon in the heavens.
Amen.
And I knew that the same moon that Yeshua, when he walked the earth, looked up, this was the same moon. And I never noticed. I knew nothing about new moons. I knew nothing about feasts. I knew, and I remember laying down and thinking, could this be the Father speaking to me? Could this, am I imagining this? And I went over my mental capacities, and then I started meditating on my spiritual house. And Laura, it was a mess. And I knew it was a mess because I had been born again at an early age. I had always read my Bible. Even when I wasn't living right, I would read my Bible. And shortly after that, I went into something like a night sleep. I was awake, but I was asleep. I can't describe it to anyone. And I began to get a download of Genesis chapter 1, Bereshit. And as the word was being read to my spirit, not audibly, I would hear, in the beginning, the Father created the heavens and the earth, and day one and day two. And then I would hear a voice, and the voice would say, I am a God of order, Bonnie. I created things in an order. get your house in order. More of Genesis would be read, and I would hear, I heard, do you think that I gave you your life to throw it away on the lust or the desires of your flesh?
Wow.
Do you not value the life I have given you? What are you using your life for? Get your life in order. The next morning, I was terrified. Let me just tell you, I was in awe, a fearful awe of a holy God that I had been reading about my whole life, that I thought I knew, but I did not know in this capacity. And for probably 2 or 3 days, I really didn't talk to anyone. I just stared and meditated on this message he was giving me, and I just was soaking up my Bible, crying out to him, and I went swiftly to work at putting my house in order. And Laura, that is when my world was flipped upside down. I remember telling my husband at the time, I can't live this way anymore. I have to live for the Father. If you do not want to live for the Father, you're welcome to leave. But I, from this day forward, I am drawing a line in the sand. And I remember him looking at me like I was nuts, just very, you know, just staring at me like I was in college. I got in my vehicle to go to college. It would not start. I borrowed his vehicle to go to college. And I look in the passenger seat and there's CDs with 666 and all these demonic looking things. Oh. And there's all kinds of things in his vehicle. And how fearful I was. I pulled over at a gas station and I called him and I said, I'm at a gas station on such and such street, and I'm throwing all your things in the trash can. If you want it, you're gonna have to figure out how to get it, but you can't bring it in my home. And he's like, what are you doing? You're throwing all my CDs away? You're throwing my, what are you doing? And I was like, well, I can't ride to school with this in the vehicle because it's unholy. I came home from school and his Jeep that we had, the transmission fell out. So first day drawing a line in the sand, we have no vehicles. I went through my house and purged it, okay? I mean, purged everything. It was like all of a sudden I was wide awake. The trees were greener than they had ever been. The fly, I noticed everything. Yeah. Things I never noticed before. It was like creation. I had life. Shortly after that, Laura, I began to get very sick. I began to fall into the walls and slur my speech and death-like fatigue. And I got so sick, I could not work my job anymore. I had 3 classes to graduate college. I ended up going numb from the waist down. I couldn't finish college. I am getting spinal taps and MRIs, walking with a cane, and I am only 38, 39 years old. And the Father begins to ask me questions. If I take your home, will you still serve me? Will you still be righteous before me? At the time, I made more money than my spouse, and my house is going in foreclosure. And one by one, I'm losing every title that defines me as a person. And I remember saying, yes, Father, you can have my house. And for several weeks, no matter where I opened my Bible at, it landed in the book of Ezekiel. And the verse every morning that I would read, it said, Ezekiel, I'm getting ready to take the desire from your eyes. I'm getting ready to take your wife. And I don't want you to mourn. I don't want you to weep. Put your priestly garments on and stand before the people. And I'm thinking, Father, are you taking my husband? And that's the next thing. He says, if I take your husband, will you still serve me? And I'm having a conversation with him, and I'm like, but you're a God of covenant. You're taking my husband? And Laura, I hear him just say, I never told you to marry him, and he is committing adultery on you, and I am taking him. And so 2 weeks later, my husband says, I'm taking a job in Qatar, overseas. I'm going to go over there and do security work, and I've lined up this position, and I'm going to get our bills cut up, and I'll be back in 6 months. Well, he never came back. He married a woman overseas. I lost everything, okay? every single thing. And I can remember to cry over him leaving, and the Father would remind me, do not weep and mourn for him. And during this time of being stripped completely bare, it was the greatest thing that ever happened to me. It was the greatest thing that ever happened to me, because the Father took me on a journey, and he made me trust him, and I trusted him daily for bread, for housing, for everything. And after a while, it became, I would wake up with excitement. How are you going to feed me today? What testimony are you going to give me today? Who's going to give me a vehicle today? What are you going to do for me today? Because I had to do everything in my own strength, and I wasn't thankful for anything. I took my health for everything for granted, Laura.
Well, Bonnie, you know what? We're almost at a break point, but I must say that many of us take things for granted. When we have a grateful heart, that guards us from getting attitudes, bad attitudes. And I remember going to Alcoholics Anonymous one day, and I had a really, really bad attitude. And I walked into the meeting, and I sat down, and right in front of me, across the room, was this huge chalkboard. And on it was written, if you have an attitude of gratitude, you won't have a bad attitude. And I knew that the Father, you know, the Father was brought me at that particular meeting that particular day to give me an attitude adjustment. And with that, we are going to go on a break. But when we come back from break, listener, we are going to continue to hear from Bonnie Manning. We'll be right back. Shalom. Welcome back, everybody. This is a modern-day Samaritan woman bringing to you the second half of Healing for the Nations. Before we went on break, we were hearing the powerful testimony of Bonnie Manning. And so this half, Bonnie's going to continue to share with us her journey to the heart of the Father. Bonnie, please continue to share your testimony.
Thank you, Laura. Long story short, after dealing with all of these things in my body that the doctors were saying was more than likely multiple sclerosis, one morning I got out of bed and my legs buckled under me and they would not hold me up. And I had a little table where I would read my Bible. And I remember just crawling to that table and climbing up and randomly opening my Bible, and tears are streaming down my face. And I remember raising my hand and saying, Father, are you taking my life? Is that why you told me to get my house in order like you told Hezekiah? Am I going to die? The first words my eyes land on when I open my Bible is from John 11:4, and it said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of Yahweh. And I remember thinking, out of all the verses, that my eyes just randomly opening my Bible, and I just raised my hands to him and I said, Father, this sickness is not unto death, but for your glory. And I remember quoting from Job, the Lord is given, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord Adonai. Blessed be his holy name. And shortly after this, I began to just become delivered and set free from so many things. And I had so much time with him and so much intimacy with him. And his voice began to get louder. There was this intimacy and longing that this broken, drunken woman who'd been crying out for was finally feeling. And the Father is so good. Let me just tell you, when I was, you know, leaving the home I had bought as a single mother, leaving everything, I remember standing in my kitchen and just crying and saying, you know, everything I've worked for is gone. And I'm not physically able to work. And what am I going to do? And the Father led me to a verse where Joseph is telling, he's sending for his father. He's sending for his brothers to get his father and to come to Egypt. And he says, don't even worry about your stuff. Don't even worry about that stuff. We've got better stuff here. You know, we've got bread here.
Yes.
And the Father is so good, Laura. He restored my whole life. And with miracle after miracle. And, you know, when my mother was pregnant with me, she said the Father told her to name me Ruth. That's my middle name. And all my life, my mother would tell me, one day, you're going to meet your Boaz. And I ended up being homeless for a year. I lived with different people, and my health became better. I could drive some, and the Father plunged me into ministry. And a year later, I remember getting the keys to an apartment that was roughly 600 square feet. It was the smallest space I had ever lived in, and I really didn't own anything. I had a couch. I had a bed. I didn't take that much stuff because I couldn't afford to pay storage. But I remember getting the keys to that tiny space and falling on my face and worshiping Him. Amen. That I could turn a thermostat, I could get a coffee cup out of my cabinet, I could praise and worship Him. And, you know, so many times the things that we have daily we take for granted. If I hadn't have been homeless, let's say I had lived in a huge house and I had to move into a smaller house or whatever, I may not have appreciated it. I may have complained about it. But because He stripped me of everything, every tiny thing He gave me, it was so beautiful. And it had so much depth and meaning. And I met my husband. I met my Boaz. And he came to speak with an evangelist at a church I was doing ministry with. I remember the Father saying, "That is your husband." And we're talking probably 4 years later, but I remember the Father saying, "That is your husband." And he was the associate pastor. He was chief of police in a small city. And the Father changed my whole entire life. Let me back up. I was at a conference while I was homeless, and a lady prophesied over me, and she said, "I want you to mark your calendar because the Father says in 6 months you will not recognize your life." And I remember looking at that calendar every day, and nothing was happening. Nothing was changing. I kept, you know, what is going on? And I would tell the Father, "It's been 4 months. I'm still homeless. I'm still, you know." And she said, "You are not recognized any of your life because the Father is going to completely flip your life." Well, when I got the keys to that apartment, it had been exactly 6 months.
Wow.
To the date. And flash forward, I'm married. My husband's name is Jeffrey Scott Manning. My first husband that I was married to for 14 years who was abusive, his name was Jeffrey. The man who left me when I was sick and couldn't walk, his name was Scott. And the Father told me, "I am giving you the renewed anointed version. I'm giving you the second Adam version. I am giving you a holy man."
Hallelujah.
And I got up one morning, woke up in this beautiful home with my new husband, and I remember getting dressed. I was going to City Hall. We were having a prayer meeting with the community and the mayor, and my husband was doing a Bible study there at City Hall with the community, and I'm getting dressed to go meet him to minister, and I'm thinking, I was a homeless wreck, a woman disabled with nothing, and the Father restored me. He restored everything. And I know that there are people listening right now, and maybe you have lost everything. Maybe you've been abandoned. Maybe you've been sexually abused. Maybe you're waiting on Boaz. Maybe you're lonely. Maybe alcohol is what you're going to, or drugs, or food, or whatever it is. There is a Father who loves you. He is a good, good Father, and He has good, good things for you. And He wants to heal you. He wants to have intimacy with you. He wants, you know, in America, we're so caught up with entertainment and social media. And all these things, they just leave us empty. Like, we would turn things off and turn Him on and spend time with Him and be intimate with Him. He would draw near to us because that's what He wants to do.
Amen. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Laura.
Thank you so much. You know, Bonnie, I was listening to you talk about how you would drink when you had your children, and you know, you would get up in the morning and, you know, to put them, you know, to get them ready for school, and you would still be a wreck from the night before. And part of my story is I was an active alcoholic for many years, and I remember coming to in the morning. You know, there's a difference between waking up and coming to. And you're living the lifestyle of an alcoholic. You pass out at night from drinking so much, and you come to in the morning. I would come to in the morning, and I would get my son together and put him on the school bus. And I would go back to bed because I was so hungover. I would sleep all day long until it was time for him to come back home after school. And, you know, I too was married to abusive men. You and I have a lot in common, and we've had long, long talks where, you know, we just could not believe how much we had in common. We are truly kindred spirits, and I'm sure there's someone out there that has heard your testimony, and they can relate to so much. And, you know, we live in a world that is fallen. We live in a world that is broken. And even people within the body of the Messiah are suffering and are feeling lonely, that are in, you know, marriages that where they're unequally yoked or in abusive marriages. And they're crying out, their souls are crying out to the Father. And, you know, I was born again at a very young age. And sometimes, Bonnie, you know, some of us have memories of being a little child and reading our Bibles and going to church and, you know, loving Jesus. But then for some reason, our lives got way off track into drugs, into alcohol, into promiscuity and abusive relationships. But, you know, the Father longs to just scoop you up. Listener, He longs to scoop you up. Remember the woman at the well. Yeshua went way out of His way to speak to this woman, this society's cast away, who had been married numerous times and was living with a man. It was as if she gave up on marriage and she was just shacking up with a man. And He came all that way in the heat of the day to meet up with her, to reveal to this woman, society's cast away, of who He was, the Messiah, the Redeemer, Yeshua, which means salvation in Hebrew. And that's what He does. He meets us where we're at. And maybe, listener, you feel like you're hopeless. Maybe, listener, you feel like you've gone too far. You're too dirty. Maybe you feel too shameful. I know I was there. I used to feel that way, that nobody would want me. Nobody could possibly love me. I didn't see anything in me that was redeemable. But you know, that's a lie from the enemy. That is a hissing from the serpent. That is a lie from the depths of hell. You are loved with an everlasting love. He saw you when He knit you together in your mama's womb. He doesn't make junk. Maybe like me, you've lost a son. Maybe you have children that won't even speak to you for whatever reason. Maybe you think you've blown it. But I can tell you that He heals relationships. And some, you know, and we have to remember that we all have free will, you know, and the 12 steps of recovery, there's a part where we make amends. We make a list of people that we have harmed, and we make amends to them. And when we make amends, when we ask for forgiveness, it's not up to us whether they forgive us or not. We're only responsible for our own side of the street. Maybe you've tried to make things right with other people, and it just hasn't worked out. And sometimes we do need to let go of relationships and walk away. I know for me, Bonnie, my last husband, I know that I was losing my cotton picking mind. I was truly losing my mind. And there was demons in the house, and it's a long story, but I was almost over the edge. And I remember wandering around this beautiful house, and I had everything that a woman could want, beautiful clothes. I was getting Botox and fillers, and I had it made, but I wasn't loved. And I was wandering around the house crying, saying to the Father, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I can't live like this, Father. I can't live like this. And the Holy Spirit said to me, and it was so loud, pack your bags and get out. And I said to the fan over and over, he said, pack your bags and get out. Go to the woman's shelter. And I was crying. I'm like, Father, I don't want to leave another marriage. This is my fourth husband. They all have kicked me out. I don't want to leave yet another. And I don't want to leave my dog. But he told me, you need to leave. So I packed my belongings and I left. And it was a very hard thing to do. I lost everything, Bonnie. I was like you. I lost everything. And I ended up in a woman's shelter. They found me an apartment, a tiny, teeny, tiny little apartment. And it was there that and I cried out to the Father, and I cried out to him, you know, I didn't even know how to pray. And I said, where are your real people, Father? Where are the people that love you and keep your commandments? Where are the people that keep your Sabbath holy? And what are the Hebrew root meaning? What does your word really say? What are the Hebrew roots of your word? And he led me to Rigo Cortez. He led me to Jim Staley. He led me to a little country church that was honoring his Sabbath and honoring the feast days of Jehovah. And that's where I was introduced to his way of life. And since that time, he has been restoring me little by little. And he hasn't given me a Boaz, but he has a lot of healing in my life. And this is where the deep healing of my soul began, when I started this journey to the heart of the Father. And so, Bonnie, unfortunately, we are out of time. But I would absolutely love it if you would remind people where they can find you, and if you would close us with prayer, please.
Of course. Well, I felt led to share a small verse. It's a portion from Isaiah 54. It says, fear not, for you will not be ashamed. Be not confounded, for you will not be disgraced. For you will forget the shame of your youth and the reproach of your widowhood. You will remember no more, for your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your redeemer.
Yes.
The God of the whole earth, he is called. For the Lord Adonai has called you like a wife deserted and grieved in spirit, like a wife of youth when she is cast off, says your God. For a brief moment I deserted you, but with great compassion I will gather you. In overflowing anger, for a moment I hid my face from you, but with everlasting love I will have compassion on you, says the Lord Adonai, your Redeemer. So, Father, I just thank you for your blessings. I thank you that you are our maker, that you are our husband, that you know when we sit and we rise, and when a hair falls off our head, and you collect our tears, Father. You know us. You knew us before you placed us in our mother's womb. I thank you, Father, for bringing healing to those who are listening, and Father, letting them know that even my life did not end with a fairy tale. There were more battles. There were more things to go through. There was more buffeting. There was more on your potter's wheel. There was more purification in that fire where you heat us up and you get the dross off so that you can bring forth something. Oh, Father, purify us.
Yes,
Father. Cleanse us. I pray healing over the listeners, Father.
Yes,
I pray healing over their souls.
Yes,
I pray, Father, that you would let them know, just like little Hagar, that you are a God who sees them.
Yes.
That you are not a God who's far away, and that you are a Father who hears them. And I pray, Father, that as they cry out to you, Father, that you just wrap them in your loving arms, Father, and that you show them mercy, that you show them your loving kindness, Father, and that there be healing comes forth, healing in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, healing for his bride.
Yes.
Healing and cleansing for his bride. I thank you, Lord, for having me on your show. It was an honor and a privilege. The listeners can find me at TekoaManning.com. You can get my books on Amazon under my pen name, Tekoa Manning. And you can find me on Facebook, where I also have a shop, where you can purchase my books, and I will ship them to you personally. So, blessing.
Thank you so much, Bonnie. It has just been such a pleasure to have you on and to hear the heart of the Father flowing out through you. Thank you again. And with that, we, listener, are going to say shalom to you.
Of Yahweh came upon me, and he took me far away to a valley filled with many bones. They were very, very dry. He said, "You must prophesy. I prophesy.